Romans chapter 12. Last Sunday, we preached on remembrance of me, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, his suffering on our behalf, in our place, shedding his blood, suffering the wrath of God, and enduring the pains of hell. We can never comprehend or understand how he suffered in body and soul on the cross because he loved us so. In view of that sermon, we're going to preach on Romans chapter 12, begin reading with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And truly, if you look at Calvary, if you look at Jesus paying the sin debt for sinners, it was because of the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May we pray. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and minds to receive the engrafted word which is able to save us in our lives. Pray that you open up our hearts to rejoice in so great salvation as we sung about this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, you promised to be in our midst. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Brother David mentioned a few weeks ago he preached upon this text. And I was going to preach the following week on the same text, but it was led to preach on Romans 8:28. So this morning we're going to look at this text. You can never exhaust it. Brother Dave could preach on it, Roger could preach on it, and I could preach on it for the next year, every week, and we would never could exhaust the truth that's contained in these verses. It's such a blessing when you look at Romans 1 through 11, you look at all the things Paul mentioned, the grace of God has abounded much more and more than sin. He speaks in Romans 6 of the children of God being empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. Chapter 7, he shows the conflict. Chapter 8, he shows the power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And the 9 through 11, he goes through Israel and some of the things concerning the elect of God. And now he comes to chapter 12. And as you look back, you can see he's saying here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to be a willing servant. Willing. Now, he works in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure, but he wants us to be a willing servant. Now, what draws us to Christ? I've said this many times, the love of Christ in us draws us to the love of Christ. Love begets love. Holy means to be set apart. When you become members of the Lord's church, and when we are baptized in identification with Christ, we go under the water, we come out of the water, we are identifying ourselves with Christ, and we are to walk in newness of life. So holy means to be set apart for God's service. And when you make that willing commitment to identify yourself with Christ, you're setting yourself apart from the world to walk in what? In a new life. You know, the Bible says in Galatians that we don't walk, or in Ephesians, we don't walk in the vanity of our minds as other Gentiles walk. And in other words, we're not walking in the unregenerated nature. He goes on to say, if you've been taught by Christ, that you put off what? The old man with his deeds and put on the new man. See, we're to be walking in that new spirit. You know, the old things have passed away, ho, all things have become new. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We're to walk in the new creation now. We're different. We're not the same. We're not to be thinking like the world. We're not to be lusting after things of the world. We're to be desiring and seeking those things which are above, Brother Roger, where Christ is. So you must come to the conclusion, as you read the New Testament, there's a distinction between those who serve God and those who don't. One's walking in the vanity of their minds, serving the lust of the flesh. The other ones are walking in the Spirit, reading the Word of God and following God. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we have a perfect atonement, Brother Dave. If any man sin, let him ask to the Father. Confess your sins. That's the provision God has made for us. After we've been born again, after we've been given ourselves to the Lord, when sin comes into our lives and Satan, through his stratagems and temptations, trips us up, we have a place to go. Where do we go? We go to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. He's the only priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ. So be grateful this morning if you're walking in the truth. You know, John says in his epistles, I rejoice that my children are walking in the truth. I know it's a joy to parents. And a lot of us are a burden for our children. But when they do those things which are pleasing to the Lord, it makes us rejoice. When they come to the house of God and hear the preaching of the Word, it gives us joy in our heart that they're coming to the house of God. And in our souls, we say, well, it gives us hope that God is working in their life. The believer is a priest unto God and to offer sacrifice unto God. Now, we don't offer lambs and goats sacrifice today, but we're to offer to God the sacrifices of praise of our lips to God. This is our service. It says in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 10 of Revelation, it says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Peter had a little glimpse of this in 1 Peter. He says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, which is your unto God, which is your reasonable service by Jesus Christ. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You know, to sing praises to God, to give God thanks, that's a spiritual sacrifice. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice Hebrews 13:15. Here he explains it very clearly. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We should be continually giving God praise, Brother Dave. As Brother Dave said a few seconds ago, he thanked God that he still has a job. Who do you give the glory to? God. Because God's in control of all things. The blessings. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good, and that's something we should always do, strive to do good. And to communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You want to please God? Then do good. Follow righteousness. You want to please God? Then offer the sacrifice to God, praise continually in your lips. If we praise God as much as we complain, well, we'd really be praising God a lot, wouldn't we? And we're all guilty. This is not picking on anyone in particular, but I think we all would have to say, if I praise God as much as I complain about things in my life, or things I don't like, or things I can't do, but let us give thanks to God. Let us praise His name. Like I said earlier, it's something we take for granted, good health, to be able to walk and to talk and to see and to hear and not be dying with cancer, and to have the ability to talk and to help others and to praise God and to come to the church of God on your own limbs that you can walk and be here. Give God glory for that. That's a blessing. Especially as you get older like Brother Roger. I mean, that's a real blessing. And Brother Rhodes. You don't realize how much you need the grace of God as you get older. You realize more and more, I need God's grace. As I said earlier, things that never bothered you when you get older, they do bother you. You get stressed out easier. Things get on your mind and you concern, you get over anxious. You know, as you hear about all the turmoils in the world that North Korea is determined to nuke America. Now Russia's on the bandwagon. They're getting prepared for a nuclear war with the USA. They're having their drills where 40 million people are going underground and preparing for a nuclear war with the United States. We're living in times where it's very easy to be stressed out over the conditions of the world. That we have the ability within 1 hour to totally annihilate the United States. Everyone here, everything that we know and see, everything. But at the same time, during this, knowing all of this is possible, it's good also to know that God will be with us no matter what comes our way. If God so chooses to remove America from the earth by a nuclear ballistic missile, we would just submit to it and say, Lord, we're going home. We're going home. It would be instantly. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, that's how fast we'd be gone, just like that. I'm not trying to scare anyone this morning, but this is a reality in the age in which we live as believers. No age has ever lived in an age where it could be destroyed in a moment. That doesn't mean we wouldn't destroy Russia at the same time. But the comfort we have is the comfort that God is watching over us, Brother Dave. I pray one night, Lord, that you restrain the powers to be from destroying each other. Pray for that. Only God can restrain these wicked men. And we're not an innocent nation. Many things we've done as a nation has been wrong. But those who are in charge will have to give an account of that. But as you think about all the things that's going on, instead of worrying about all of these things, and sometimes it's difficult not to do that, let us be giving praises to God for today. The day we are alive, the day we have our health, the day we have our strength, the day we have the opportunity to do good. And by God's grace, let's set out this week to do good. That's one of your sacrifices unto God. Your reasonable service. Isn't it reasonable that you and I would do good and not do evil? Because we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to call to one side, to admonish, exhort, and to beg, and to entreat. He's treating brethren. I beseech you, I'm entreating you, I'm begging you. And Jesus is saying to you and I, if you love me, children, keep my commandments. Obey me. Follow me. Now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Notice how Paul emphasized that. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, everything we do should be for his sake. As I mentioned last week, God the Father forgives us for his Son's sake. That's why we receive forgiveness of sins, for Christ's sake. And for the love of the Spirit. And by the Spirit we love one another. Excuse me. And that you strive together. Now sometimes at the church you may not realize that, but we as a body can strive together for particular needs in our church. Brother Dave, when he has particular needs, Brother Roger, Brother Rose, Brother Bill, any of you, when you have a particular need, bring it before the church that we can strive together in prayer on behalf of the individual to God to meet the need. I believe there's unity in prayer. There's strength in prayer. But very few today really believe in prayer. Brethren, a fellow believer in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord. That we serve one another as servants. Esteeming others better than yourself. Now that's hard to do sometimes, but see, that's the scriptural way, the biblical way, that we as individuals should esteem others better than yourself. When we get to thinking that we're better than other people, that's pride. Pride. Selfishness. We have to guard against that. Guard against it desperately. Blessed be God, and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. Now, God's a holy God. And God's also a God of wrath, a God of judgment, a God who hates sin. He hates unrighteousness. So we should be grateful for the mercies of God and the God of all comfort. He said that we should comfort one another as God, for Christ's sake, had comforted you. God comforts us. Not just for us only, that we may comfort someone else. He said, oh, I had such a blessing this week, Brother Rose. Oh, excuse me, I received such a comfort from God. Then you should be praying, now who am I to give it to? God doesn't give you things just to keep within you. It's for someone else that's going to come into your life. Say, Lord, who can I share this comfort with? There's someone out there that needs the same comfort that I just received this week. Lead me to that individual that I may share this comfort with them. This is offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. God in the Greek is theos, which means deity. We're to be obedient to the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 8:6, Paul says, but to us there is one God, the Father, whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now we know from studying the scriptures that God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. He says in Hebrews 1:5, referring to the Son, for unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's the Son of God. Peter answered in Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. John declares in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and that give us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Who's the true God and eternal life? Jesus Christ. Because he's the image of God. He's Father is his Father. That you present your bodies. Present means to place or near to yield. There's an illustration in the Old Testament when the angels came before God and they appeared before God in his presence and they stood in the presence of God waiting to be commanded. Who will go for us? And they were ready to go. God's bidding. And that's what God is telling you and I. We need to present ourselves. We need to stand in the presence of God saying, "Lord, I'm ready to go at your service, at your bidding." You say, "Well, I'm not called to be a preacher." No, but you're called to service. You're called to comfort the feeble-minded. You're called to visit the sick and afflicted. We're called to encourage one another. We're called to give praises to God in the presence of others. We're called to testify of the grace of God in our life to others, that we might encourage them, that they may see Christ in us, which may God's grace will, if he sparks that, gives them that Holy Spirit in their life, excuse me, in their life, that they can see the glory of God in us. That's why we want to see. I don't want to see Leroy. I want to see Christ in me. Denying yourselves. I don't want to see self. I want self to be denied. I want Christ to be exalted in my life. That's what we should be praying for. Offering praises unto God. When people see you, do they see Christ? Now, I don't mean we put on a show, but do they see the long-suffering? Do they see patience? Do they see kindness? Do they see forgiveness? Do they see our mercy being shown forth? Do they see us humbling ourselves? Do they see us pointing others to Christ? Do they see us giving praise to God for what we have in our life? Do they see Christ in you? Paul says, "You should be living epistles, read and known of all men." Do they see Christ in us? Or do they see self? Too many times I'm afraid that they see self exalted in our lives. It's because we're in a warfare. We have to be constantly on our guard against self, being lifted up with pride, thinking we're something when we're nothing. Thinking, "Well, I know it all. I've got all the answers." No. The more I study the Word of God, the more I realize how little I do know compared to what there is to know. And truth is spiritual. The Holy Spirit, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God. He therefore that despiseth not men, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We can sin against the Father's love. We can sin against the Son's love. And we can sin against the Holy Spirit's love. Especially when we grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now this is something we have to take serious. If you're not serious about being a Christian, these things don't matter anything to you. If all you want is to come to church, hear a sermon, and go home, then you don't have to be concerned about any of this. Most people today, that's all they want from Christianity. Just come, hear a sermon, get taught, then go home, rest a week, forget about it. Never read the scriptures, never pray, never be concerned about how they live, what they say, what they do, not living for the honor and glory of God. And there's thousands living like that. They're content with just a name, profession. They profess to be a Christian. Paul said, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Now this goes to me, to you, to each one of us. If we name the name of Christ, we should be departing, we should be rejecting, separating ourselves from the very presence of evil. Because Paul, one of the writers said, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. That we present. We're to yield. The word present means to yield. We're to be yielding to God. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Don't yield yourselves to something that can hurt you. You have to be very careful of everything that you yield to that could affect your decisions for Christ, of following him. Know you not that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servants you are, whom to obey whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants of unto uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In other words, one time in your life you was a slave to sin, you yielded everything to sin. You were servants of sin. Now that you've been regenerated and born again, and Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, yield everything righteousness unto God. Yield yourselves unto God as though that are what? Alive from the dead. To yield our bodies a living sacrifice. Paul says, meats for the belly, and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We're living in an age of immorality in the United States and in the world. Adultery, fornication, immorality, impurity is now a common thing. People don't think anything about committing fornication no more than they do anything. It's just a common practice by all young people today. Adultery. So many people today are getting divorced because of unfaithfulness between either the husband or the wife. We're living in an age of an adulterous generation. And God is saying to his people, now the body that you possess is not for fornication, but for the Lord. God didn't save us that we could serve sin. He saved us for us to deny sin and deny ungodliness, and that we should live godly and righteously in this present world. Now there's a lot in this verse, in verse 15 of that same chapter. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. That shows you how sacred our body is. Sacred. And the thing I can say to Christians, to believers that follow Christ, if Satan ever tripped you up in this area, there's only one place to go, and that's to the Lord. No one's beyond falling. No one's beyond not committing this sin, even Christians. But if they do fall into this sin, what should they do? They should confess it to their great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me and give me the grace never to fall into that sin again. There's no sin that God can't forgive you as a believer. David was forgiven for that sin, but he suffered for that sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. If it wasn't for that, there'd be no hope for you and I. In the next emphasis he puts on this chapter, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost indwells us. We need to remind ourselves of that. We are temples. You know, under the Old Covenant, Old Testament, the tabernacle was indwelt in the Holy of Holies by God's presence. In the temple, God indwelt the temple, and they came in and offered sacrifices. Under the New Covenant, we are the temple of God. The church, each individual member, is a temple of the Lord. He indwells us. It's hard for us to comprehend that at times, to grasp the seriousness of it. But Paul goes on to say, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Did you hear that? Did I hear that? I don't belong to myself. I belong to God, Brother Dave. Our bodies are the temples of God, and we are not our own to live wickedly. We're to present our members, our flesh, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our bodies as instruments of what? Righteousness. This is the teaching of Christianity. But there's many today, all they want to do is come to church, hear a sermon, and go home. They don't know anything about living unto God, living righteously, living godly, rejecting the sins of this world, rejecting Satan and his kingdom. That's this kingdom of darkness. What? Fornication, adultery, lying, drunkenness, all of these things is in the kingdom of darkness, not in the kingdom of God. Paul, when he was tempted, when he went through his trials, he said this in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, Paul suffered greatly in his life from his kinsmen, from unbelievers, from pagans, Satan, the religious crowd. But he said, the Lord stood with me, Roger. And sometimes, you know, you and I, we feel like Paul, and we can say, but one thing, the Lord stood with me is the only reason I didn't fall. The Lord stood with me. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole body, spirit, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we being sanctified, body, soul, and spirit? A living sacrifice. Now, all of this I'm saying this morning in view of what we preached last week, in remembrance of me. We need to remind ourselves our obligation to the Lord. This goes for Brother Rose, Brother Dave, Brother Roger. We are obligated as professing Christians to separate ourselves from the world. No ifs and ands about it. Paul says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Keep that in your memory daily. I am the Lord's. I'm divine property. I belong to the Lord Jesus. He bought me with his blood. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. He's the Lord of the dead and the living. All liveth unto him. A spiritual offering unto the Lord, a living sacrifice, giving praise. As we look back and see what he's done for us, we should be offering praise unto God. Isn't that our reasonable service? Remember the leopards, 10 of them was cured? But how many came back to the Lord and said, thank you, Lord, for cleansing me of leprosy? Only one. Jesus said, where's the other nine? Let's don't be like the nine. Let's be like the one. Let's come to the Lord daily and say, Lord, thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for cleansing my soul this day and forgiving you my sins this day, my disobedience, my lustful thoughts, my ungratefulness. Lord, thank you for cleansing for today. Thank you for your blood. See, we fellowship in his blood every day, Brother Roger. Because we need his blood every day, every cleansing. We need cleansing continually. And that's what it means in Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually, present tense, it's continually cleansing us from all sin because we stand in need of that cleansing every moment of our lives. To be a living sacrifice is not to put away sin, but to glorify God. See, we're not a sacrifice to die for sin. Christ did that once and for all. But we're to deny sin and follow Christ. We've been set apart for God's service. Notice Ephesians 1:4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What's the evidence of being chosen? Being set apart, being holy before God. He said that he might present the church, it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And we know that's only possible in Christ. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what should be our prayer, that we could be shining as lights in the world to those around us. The world's in darkness. A lot of those we love are in darkness. And we should be a shining light to them in the midst of darkness. We should be a living epistle, read and known of all men. They should see Christ in us. Set apart for his service, which is well-pleasing to the Lord. And what should we do? Paul says in Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, there are certain things we know is pleasing to the Lord, and we know there's something that's not pleasing to the Lord. Now, we should be holding fast to that which pleases the Lord. Unto God. Unto God. He says in Ephesians 5:1 to the Father, be ye therefore followers of God. That word follow means imitators of God as dear children. In other words, we should have a forgiving spirit. We should be showing love to others. We should be shining lights for the honor and glory of God. We should be helping others. In Hebrews 5:9, speaking about the Son, says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all men that obey him. He's the author of eternal salvation to who? Those that obey him and follow him. The Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We need to pray daily that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we don't read the Word of God daily, we don't pray daily, we don't give God the praise daily, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and we should confess that. We should be praying continually, Brother Roger. Whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now we're coming down to a few thoughts in closing. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that Greek word is used in Peter also, 1 Peter 1:14, the same Greek word, but it's translated differently. As obedient children. That should be the characteristic of you and I. We're obedient children. Not fashioning yourselves, not conforming yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. We're not to be fashioning. We're not to be walking around in the old nature, in the old man. We're to be conformed. Not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed. One's mind and character to another pattern. By conforming to the world is meant assimilation of people of the world or the sentiments, conduct, and custom by which they are distinguished. Are you trying to imitate the world and how they live? Their thoughts of holiness? Their thoughts of what's good and what's evil? We're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. You know, John says in John, love not the world. What did he mean by that? We're in the world, Jesus said, but you're not of the world. We're not to love the world system of wickedness, Brother Dave, ungodliness, unholiness, hatred for God, hatred for the Lord Jesus, hatred for God's word. Look at the world today as they magnify and exalt ungodliness and they make fun and criticize and want to destroy Christianity. We never lived in an age where Christians are becoming the targets of persecution. Because of what? Holiness. Because we're peculiar people. We're zealous of good works. Because we will not conform to their standard, we conform to God's word, and God's word teaches us to hate sin. And if we hate sin, then they hate us. That's why the world doesn't love you and I. And they never will. Why? Because they are walking in the vanity of their mind, following the dictates of their wicked nature, and they are servants of Satan, not servants of God. Don't feel strange that those that you know who are not believers, who have not been changed, don't love you as you think they should. Your nature, the way you live, condemns them. They don't want to be around you. They don't want to be near you. They want nothing to do with you. Why? Because that's the same way they felt about Christ. They don't want to be in the presence of God. And God dwells in you when they in your presence are in the presence of God. And if your light is shining forth, it's a rebuke to their life. And they don't want to be around it. They don't want to be rebuked. It's hard, isn't it? Because at times those that we love so much, and those that we care for so much don't want to be around us. It hurts. It's a trial that we as believers have to endure. Paul said, the more I love, the least I'm loved back. And sometimes as believers, to our own families, to our friends, to those around us, the more we give ourselves to love them, the less they show any love back to us. And beloved, it takes a lot of the grace of God. You must think spiritually and keep in front of your mind that they haven't received the grace of God as yet. And they cannot love the image of Christ in you until they're changed. So what should be our prayer? Lord, give me long suffering with these individuals, with my loved ones. Give me patience. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding that I might be able to help those who hate me because of your image. Do all things for Christ's sake. And this is reality. This is where we live. And sometimes we wonder, why has these things happened to me? Other people get along with their families and their, you know, they don't seem to have any problems. But they're all walking in the same spirit of disobedience. Of course, they get along well. They do all their sinning together. They are rebellious together. They don't serve God. They don't have the image of God shining forth in their life. So they follow the dictates of their wicked heart. And they love one another. But when it comes to the people of God, it's different. It's different. Because of the world system. As I said earlier, And we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The word conform refers to an act of an individual assuming an outward expression that does not come from within him, nor is it representative of his inner heart. That's like you and I. Once we're born again and we're changed creatures, when we walk around pretending to be in the flesh again, we're being hypocritical. We're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the spirit. We shouldn't be conforming to an image which we don't have. We're not of the image of the world anymore. We're the image of Christ. We are being conformed, according to Romans 8, unto the image of Jesus Christ. Why would you want to pretend to be some other image, Brother Roger? But we have to guard against that. Don't be conformed to this world system, but be you transformed. Now here's what we'll close with these thoughts. In Matthew 17:2, it says, "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." We're being transformed, transfigured, renewed, changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we read the Word of God and meditate in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit opens up our heart. We are being changed into the image of Christ as He sanctifies us through His truth, through the Word of God. That's why it's important, beloved, that each one of us as believers read the Word of God, that we can be changed, that we can be set apart in our hearts and minds, that we are being transformed into the image, into the same image of Christ. We become more like Christ. You want to be more like Christ? Then read the Word and pray for the Holy Spirit to conform you to that image. By the renewing of your mind by the Holy Spirit. Paul says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As I've said before, this has many thoughts. But the one way to know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not, are you walking in the truth, Brother Roger? Are you obeying the Scriptures? Are you obeying God? If you're obedient to God and obeying the Scriptures and following Christ, you're walking in the Spirit. If you're not obeying God, you're not obeying Christ, you're not following Christ, you're obeying another spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God, it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's against God's kingdom, it's against God's principles, it's against the teachings of God. And we all carry this wicked nature within us. And we have to guard against it continually. That you may prove, put to the test for the purpose of approving. We're to prove unto God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "If any man would do his will, he should know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Beloved, that is a beautiful thought. As we do the will of God, he says, you'll know the truth. You want to know the truth? Be obedient to God. The Holy Spirit will bless you and guide you. In closing, as we think about this verse, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," each one of us must look back in our lives and look at the mercies of God. How many have been preserved from death? I have many times been preserved from death. How many have been preserved from illnesses and sicknesses? So many things we're not even aware of. God has been so merciful to us. See, where are you at this morning? In the house of God. You're in the house of God. That's a mercy. That's the mercy of God that you're here and not out in the world, serving the world. You're in the house of the living God, serving the true and living God. What a blessing that is, beloved. You know, we sing that song, "Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. It may surprise you what the Lord has done." Oh, God's mercy in forgiving us as sinners. That is such a blessing to me. mercy in forgiving me of my daily sins. I go to the throne of grace and to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, thank God we have that. As the psalmist says, where can I go but to the Lord? Beloved, to be in the world without God and without hope and without mercy would be a desperate place to be, Brother Roger. But you and I have hope because we have the Lord. We have strength because we have the Lord. We have cleansing because we have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our souls, and by we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have the hope of His second coming, which we're looking forward to the day when we will sin no more. We will have a new body, and we'll be conformed to the perfect image of Christ, and we shall be together forever and forever with the saints of God. So let us enjoy each day God has given us. Let us pray by God's mercy that we can be a living sacrifice daily. Now, it's easy to get indifferent to these things. That's why you have pastors. That's why you have elders, Brother Dave, Brother Roger, and myself. We're to stir up your minds to remembrance of our responsibility, not just your responsibility, our responsibility as a church, as believers, that we are to stir up ourselves to remember who we are. If you're a believer this morning, you are divine property. If you're a believer this morning, you belong to the Lord, not to yourself. That's why we pray, we should pray, Lord, nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we know how short we come. But Lord, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for working in our hearts to bring us to our knees, to humble us, that you might lift us up in your due time. Thank you for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's so great salvation to redeem sinners like us. Bless us now, and may we, by the God's grace, take the admonition of Paul that we present our bodies a living sacrifice this coming week, and that we be not conformed to this world, that we be transformed into the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we read the Word of God and pray and seek the Lord in our life. Bless us now and dismiss us in your love. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?